Hey, this is EQO, and you're listening to The Centering.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome to another edition of The Centering, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Episode 152, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, April 8th, 2019. The time, 8:44 p.m. Central Standard Time. This will be the best episode ever. It's going to be a little different, maybe a little less actual esports talk, but we'll find a way to make it work as we dive into the hot topic recently in the esports world, and that's the importance of mental health or just the effects of gaming on mental health. It's been in the news. Prince Harry gave his opinion on it, for whatever that's worth, but he's a pretty big, important person, so I hear, as far as an influencer goes. So we'll talk a little bit about that, and in relations to effects with Overwatch and the Dallas Fuel. So we're going to discuss that here in a second, but before we do, let's introduce everyone. Hello, my name is Tim. I will be one of your captains for this journey into esports. Alongside me, as always, we have Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
Hello. How you guys doing?
What up?
What up, dude?
I'm liking the jersey.
Thank you.
And if you're watching us on Twitch, which we do stream every Monday, when we do the shows live, you can see his Prince of Bel-Air jersey. And then we have Brett. Hello, Brett.
What's up, guys?
What is up?
What up?
What is up?
That deep voice. I like
I
it.
Know. Right, man. I know, man. You doing okay, bud? Are you gonna make it through the show?
I will do it for the listener. And okay. You guys.
And I just as you do it for the listener, I will ride the volume for you all show long. As your voice fluctuates from so deep no one can hear it to voice cracking as you are about to die.
Yep.
I kinda want Brett to like read books to me while I'm sleeping and like just talk.
And just some Morgan Freeman voice.
Just say nice things. I like it.
Maybe he can. Maybe he can.
And the itsy bitsy spider.
Before we get too far into it, let's introduce our social media, shall we? At The Center Ring on Twitter. TCR.gg is the website. It's got links to Discord, YouTube. It's pretty much the two important things on there. So go ahead and join our Discord. Be a part of the conversation. Let us know what you think of the show. If you listen on iTunes, what's the other one? I use it. CastBox, I think it's what it's called, on Android. You can leave reviews on those. We love reviews. We love reading them. If they're good, if they're bad, just don't worry about it. Don't waste your time. You know, don't leave a bad review. But if you like it, go ahead and leave us a review and everything that helps. That's the way you can support the show. But let's get into today's discussion because it's been a kind of an interesting week on how all this has timed out in the esports world as video games has really taken storm in the public eye, I guess you could say, as Fortnite has just captivated every age group known to man, and as Twitch becomes as huge as it's became, you have every age group getting involved, right? You have the elderly are streaming and watching, as you have a 12-year-old who's streaming and watching, and it's just, it's you can now be a gaming superstar, right? In the normal household of the world, where before it might have been like a niche thing, like yeah, gamers knew who other gamers were, but you know, your parents probably wouldn't know. Well, now parents know who Ninja is, right? They know who Summit is. Dr. Disrespect. It's weird that parents know these guys where, what, a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, maybe not so much. So it's been out there. So we'll, it's all creeped up on this mental health discussion, and we're going to get into that in a second. But part of that started all this is effect of the Dallas Fuel recently announced his retirement from the Overwatch League, mainly driven because of, you know, mental health issues, and we'll get into that in a second. But before, we are an esports show, and I do think it's our responsibility to also talk the logistics, the business side of this move for the Dallas Fuel. So let's just take 5 or 10 minutes, you know, and then we'll get into kind of the heavier discussion. But right now, I just want to discuss the effect of leaving the Dallas Fuel.
Yeah, I mean, the effect is the team loses a guy that they like, that's well-respected in the Overwatch League. I mean, there's not one person that looks at the guy and is like, man, good riddance, right? He's loved by everyone, and it was a steep drop-off. And maybe that has something to play in, and maybe we can discuss this here in a minute, just kind of the steep fall of effect in just like a year's time. But the immediate impact to the team on the server, there isn't one, because he wasn't really a huge part of what they were doing. Mm-hmm. It's more so just the icon that he is, right, leaving the team. It's the end of an era.
It is. Well, because, I mean, he's been on the team, you know, and he was well known before Overwatch League, right? Overwatch League is only, what, a season and a stage into it, right? So obviously he wasn't building up superstardom just from Overwatch League. He was well known prior to. Last season he took, what, the last two stages off. He came back for this one, and everyone was very hyped up for it because, all right, once again, here's the best DPS player in the world from what we are told. And I feel like there's a lot left to be desired here. Because like you said it, Brett, they tried. The Dallas Fuel really tried using him at the start of the season. And whether it be his skill drop-off, I think it was just the meta. I don't think the meta allowed Effect to play the way he plays, right? You couldn't just let him go off and do his DPS thing with the way the meta was last stage and for the most part this stage. So he was somewhat benched for the most part. And we even asked the question in our, you know, kind of stage one recap of the Fuel, which you can see on our YouTube page, like, where is his place on the team right now? And I guess, you know, obviously we got our answer, but.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he kind of struggled to adapt just the way that Overwatch is kind of evolving to, where DPS superstars in the league are having to flex. And when they do flex, they're flexing at a high level, a.k.a. Harpe. Or
AKM.
If you want to look at the Dynasty, Fleta. Like, these are guys that can go from DPS to off tank, or, I mean, even main tank, if you want to talk about Taimu, I mean, last year for the Fuel, I mean, he wasn't like a superstar as a main tank, but he was able to flex.
But look at like AKM's transformation. He went from being what was going to be your 76 to Genji to now like one of the best Zarya's in the league.
Right. And I think, you know, more to your point, Tim, I think AKM's emergence, I guess. Is that the right word?
It's a real word.
It's a real word, right? Kind of left him or rendered him useless on the team. He didn't really have a spot, which maybe played into, I mean, I'm sure it goes deeper than not having a spot on the team, but kind of deeper into it. I mean, it's just a kind of a notch on why he is the way he is or in the state he is right now.
Of course.
I agree with kind of what both y'all were saying there in the sense that with the effect, there was a lot to be desired there, right? There was so much potential going in. With the Dallas Fuel, they were the team that had all the stars going into the first season of Overwatch League, and he was one of the draws, you know, with him, Taimu, Seagull, like all these guys were kind of the well-known names prior to starting the league. And so it's unfortunate. It's just more of a loss, I think, from a personality standpoint, though, when it comes to him. And just, again, the meta wasn't in his favor. It hasn't been a heavy DPS meta for a while now. So you kind of wonder what could have been if it was a little different for him.
Yeah. And that's really where I'm left at is like, man, if only things would have worked out, like how long would he have stayed in the league for? Right. And we're seeing this a lot. All of a sudden, like with Overwatch League, like a string of players have retired, and most of them, and even in effects, kind of goodbye letter stating like the game's just not fun anymore for them. Now, you know, we'll dive into that in a minute, but I think that's a lot of the sentiment of the players. And you know, something that you never really had to deal with in other esports is the fact like retiring, like actually announcing retiring, right? There's a lot of Counter-Strike players that just kind of fizzle away, and then, you know, they might show up on some what would be comparable to like a tier 2 or 3 team, but even then you kind of just look at it as, well, that's just kind of like his pug team almost, right? Like look at like Shroud or how they did that for a while.
It is unique to see it in Overwatch, because like in Counter-Strike, typically the guys that are retiring are in like their mid-20s, right? And go on to do something else. Effect is 21. He barely is of age to drink in the United States, and he's retiring because the game's not fun anymore. Which, I mean, are we going to dive into that? Or, I mean, that would be a good topic.
I think there's a lot more of a discussion than the time that we have.
Exactly. Because I think that would be a whole
almost episode. Stretch that into other. Because it, and I'll say this on that note, and then we'll save it for another episode. We'll table it for now. It is weird, but I think it's just we're entering into a new world of esports with franchising and actual contracts that we're just now using these phrases of retirement and things like that, where before, I guess you would just say, oh, he's no longer on a team, right? You never have to formally announce like, no, I'm done, right? I'm retiring. But you see that all the time. I mean, even in traditional sports, you see guys retire from football or basketball way young, and you're like, why would you do that, right? Like, look at David Irving on the Cowboys, right? Yeah. He retired because he wasn't having fun, and they said, all right, pick weed or football, and he's like, all right, gonna go weed. So on the surface, of course, there's more to it, but this is not the podcast discussion.
He kind of fits into this full discussion that we're about to have also,
right? As far as because
he has his own I mean,
and I do let's
part
let's
of that transition. Is franchising though, right? Like the retirement thing,
you kind
of
and that's what I'm saying, right? It's
always have to do it a little bit more formally in Overwatch.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, we never had to worry about the terminology of retirement back in the day. Yeah. You just left your team and didn't sign with another.
Yeah, that was it.
You became a streamer.
You became an analyst or a streamer.
Right. Then. That's how you know. Like, Pimp never really announced he was retiring. He just kind of kept getting a job as an analyst. And I guess Pimp is done playing. So, but let's get into the title discussion for this episode, and that is mental health and gaming. And I say gaming as a very broad spectrum because it's something we can all relate to. And of course, it's going to kind of all relay back to esports and everything, but I truly do think that this is something that our listenership can really relate to, because we all game, right? Sure, you might not you've never played competitively in a game on a team and practiced and gone to tournaments and all that, but you've definitely played a game. And I think everyone at one point in time has had a bad day and thought, I just want a game. Like, I'm mentally out of it, and I just want a game to cope with it. It's been recently in the news with Prince Harry, right? Is that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stating that there should be a ban for Fortnite because it is
in the UK.
In the UK, I'm sure everywhere. I don't know why he would.
I mean, he just singled out the UK.
You know, but he stated that there should be a ban of Fortnite because it's addictive, right? It's geared to making kids addictive to buying the skins or playing it, and they spend all day on the computer. And that pretty much started a S storm about, of course, the whole ramification of there's no proof gaming has addiction and causes addiction and blah, blah, blah.
Well, there is a correlation, I believe, to gaming and an addiction. You know, now whether that causes like other mental health issues, that's to be seen or talked about by people way smarter than me, right? But there is an addictive nature to a lot of the games that we play, right? Wouldn't you say, like, when games give you loot boxes or season passes that require you to have play time in order to level up, like it's just or you're playing a game like The Division. It's a gear-based, like, loot grinder type game.
Yeah.
They have an addictive nature to it. That's what they're supposed to have from a developer standpoint, right. A reason to make
you come
back.
If you were developing a game that didn't make people want to go back and play it over and over again, what are you doing?
Yeah, like World of Warcraft, you know, Fortnite's another great example, though. The game is set up with their season pass feature that is, you know, requires you just to put in time, you know, and just so.
Well, and in general, games are designed to make you feel good, right?
Yeah.
It's meant to have a good feeling while playing. Whether that be because you're playing Dark Souls and you just the self-accomplishment of winning or beating a boss or something after dying 100 times, or having a progression thing like with the season passes now that games do.
I think where he was wrong in it is using this as a reason to like, hey, this is going to cure some bigger issue if we ban Fortnite, right? Like right. This is going to solve some sort of, you know, if you ban Fortnite, people are just going to go to the next game or the next thing that gives them an addictive rush, whether that be skydiving, bungee jumping, I mean, watching porn, whatever, you know, it may be. What are you going to keep banning one thing after another that has an addictive feature? So,
and to me, it's lazy. It's a lazy opinion, right? Yeah. Like it's not getting to the root of the issue, which is I would say a good 90% of the people that would be addicted to a video game would find another vice to latch onto and be addicted to if it's not video games. So, I mean, it's
Let
kind
me show
of
you
ignoring
my Pokemon cards.
The core. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's ignoring a deeper issue that people have and just using video games as a scapegoat. And that to me just kind of ticks me off. I'm open to the discussion.
Absolutely.
That, you know, some video games maybe are addicting to the point where there needs to be some monitoring or what have you, but just a kind of blanket statement that video games are the cause of blah.
Yeah, if he said, hey, you know, look, I think we should make it mandatory that you just almost like the play 60, how NFL always tries to say, look, just get out for 60 minutes a day and go play something. Just get out, right? Get moving.
That's a developer's job. That's a parent's jobs too,
exactly.
Right?
Like, of course. That's kids, what I'm saying. But you know, you're to blame games that you're not moving is a side story, right? It's like, okay, so what? You don't want to play video games? Would you? Okay, now I'm confused. Am I talking to Prince Harry or my wife? So you don't want me to play video games? Would it be better if I just sat on the couch and watched TV all night?
As long as it's with her.
as long as
it is better.
Her back or something, right? It's all okay in that sense.
But why can't she play video games with you, Tim? All right? There's two sides of this coin.
You've seen my wife play video games. Okay?
It's not me. I've seen her play video games. Never mind.
She's the one I'm afraid of. You think I rage while playing games.
I'm going to get you banned on Twitch.
Let me show you my wife while playing Mario Kart. My God. But no, I think we've had the discussion, too, about video games and violence, right? When the whole... I think it was like when the Madden shooting happened,
right?
We had a discussion about gun violence and do video games influence violence? And of course, you get the people on Twitter that are like, this is an idiotic statement. And my same thing to them, and I say the same thing to the people who jumped on Prince Harry of saying, you don't know what you're talking about. Video games have no effect on addiction or mental stability. And I say, you don't know what you're talking about. And that's kind of the tug of war in this discussion is no one really knows because everybody is different when you're playing a game. Everyone gets addicted to something else, like we mentioned, whether it be because that makes you feel good or you get the rush of opening up loot boxes or you have that progression bar that you just have to keep filling and filling and filling. Or, you know, maybe you're just the casual who gets on, sees a progression bar and says, I don't really care where I'm at the end of the season, right? Everybody is different. But there is some type of, you know, there's some warrant to that discussion of, hey, do video games affect my mental stability, you know, at times? Like if I'm getting done playing Overwatch for a night and then all of a sudden, you know, someone wants to like try to have fun or like, I don't know, try to joke around, right? Maybe you're not in the joking manner after playing Overwatch. And right there, it does affect you. Personally, right? It affects you mentally because you're just like, that was the most stressful 4 matches of my life trying to play in comp.
Yeah, and I mean that just goes to a dipper. Dang, this is I'm gonna struggle tonight, guys. This is just goes to a deeper issue of just maybe like a self-realization, right? Like, because I could say the same thing about a day at work. Like, I could have a huge rough day at work, come home, and just like snap at my wife because I had a bad day.
So what you're saying is we should all stay at home.
That's right. Everyone should just not work. Yeah, ban working, ban video games, ban.
It's kind of sad everything. That we see, like, we only hear about one side of this discussion when it comes to just the news in general, right? It's like, what is the effect of video games in a negative manner? I wish people would also look at the other flip side of that as the good that it's done for people from a mental health standpoint. You know, for me, it's not like I've ever been clinically diagnosed with depression or anything like that, but I've been through some tough times, right? Like things that are just difficult. Yeah, I think we can all say we have. We've all been through really tough moments. And for me, an outlet from those moments or to get away from it or to feel better or to lift my spirits, a lot of times was to turn to gaming. And a lot of that gets neglected, in my opinion, when they discuss the mental effect from, you know, what is gaming doing to you? What is it causing violence? Is it causing depression? Is it, you know, causing people to become more introverted and not being able to communicate on the, you know, face-to-face type level, whatever it may be. I feel like there's just such a big positive aspect that it's brought, you know, to my life. And I'm assuming a lot of, you know, our listeners and us in particular.
Yeah. And okay. So let me preface this. Not a doctor, not a psychologist. I have two kids and I'm not trying to tell anybody how to parent or what have you, but I mean, it all comes down to just being versatile in your life, right? Like, don't do one thing for a long period of time because, yeah, that's going to affect you. Just be versatile. Like Tim said, go out and play, you know, have your downtime in video games. Just be well-rounded, I think, is what it comes down to. And a lot of the people that in esports that flame out, I mean, these guys are playing like 10 to 15 hours of video games a day. They don't get out. It's very competitive and they just flame. And I mean, that maybe that's just a product of not having anything else going on, you know.
And I do think partially that too is, you know, the culture that we have built as gamers, right? And even here, right? It's like I see everyone on and I'm sitting here watching TV and I'm like, damn, dude, everyone is on. They're progressing faster than me. I have to get on. I have to get on and catch up. And it's like my wife is like, you're an idiot. And I'm like, you don't understand. Like, they are going to be so far. I have to get on.
They're
going to
make fun of me.
Like, babe, come on. I got
to
get
I have to get
armor.
To World Tier 5.
She just doesn't understand. But I, you know, to Anuja's point of like, you don't hear about the good side of gaming. And I think as gamers, as we play games, it's part of our job to have that mature adult conversation about the positive side of gaming. And yet I see the voices of our industry on Twitter just flaming what Prince Harry has to say, basically saying, another idiot trying to talk. Well, last I checked, whether you agree with, you know, you want to talk about useless stuff, Prince Harry, let's not bring up the English monarch still, okay? All right? You're like the Kardashians of England. But besides that, last I checked, he's pretty influential, right? Like, whether he's right or wrong, it doesn't matter. He's freaking Prince Harry speaking his mind, and people are going to listen. So for us just to sit here and flame it, saying, you're an idiot, you're wrong, like, why don't we take a step back and say, look, I would love to have a conversation with you about this, right? I would love to have a mature conversation about how video games can affect mental health, which can lead into violence. Yes, gaming is not the one source of mental health issues or violence. There are many sources that pile into this that can cause violence, but that does not mean gaming is not part of the equation. And I'm not trying to say it is a part of the equation. I'm just saying for some people, it could be a part of the equation. And this is coming from my background, which if you listen to the show, it's been brought up very little times, but I studied behavior in college. I have a degree in behavior analysis. I've spent years studying, you know, in special education for autism and schizophrenia. Like I volunteered at the state living center here in Texas and helped out the mentally ill. Like, I promise you, right? Not one person there who all had, you know, like take four people with schizophrenia, all of them different, right? Like, everyone's like, oh, what causes this? What causes that? But that's the thing will drive you mad is there's not one cause of anything. There's a very, you know, it's just a random thing that can throw in a random equation and that could be their reason why. So to ignorantly say gaming has nothing to do with it. Nope, we don't even have to look at gaming, right? Just ignore it. Ignore gaming and you'll be fine. No one ever has mental issues who gets video games. That's just as ignorant as saying gaming is 100% the reason.
Yeah, I think, you know, like we've all said, I think there is an opportunity here to kind of all educate ourselves a little bit. But it is one of those things where there's never going to be a definite answer for the reasons that you just mentioned. But to rule it out of the equation, you know, just comes across wrong, especially with all the issues that you're having here in the U.S. when it does, you know, come to gun violence and just mental health issues and just the stuff that is now going on a day-to-day basis. Again, I'm not saying gaming is a root cause of any of that. In fact, I don't think it is, right. But that's my personal opinion. But at least for it to be brought up as part of the discussion, just like anything else, you know, should be in this situation, whether it be, you know, our school, I mean, just anything you're doing in day-to-day life should be kind of looked into at this point as a root cause for it. But it's just one of those things, man. It's just tough. People deal with it in so many different ways, and good or bad, there's probably some right on all sides of the line there.
Mm-hmm. I want to get into the other side of it too, which is affects retirement from Overwatch League. And like really the root cause, you know, earlier we just kind of discussed the actual effect of him leaving the team and how that may affect the team. I will say this, I will miss effect as a player. I will not miss saying effect effects every time I have to bring up his name. That drives me nuts, but I don't know another word for effect to really replace it.
Well, it's too late to break out the thesaurus now.
Yeah, there's no point in trying to learn stuff, so I'm dug in now. But he came out with his real twit longer, and it is quite long, but it's quite damning, really. I mean, it's powerful stuff. If you haven't read it, I will retweet it at the Center Ring on our account. But it's very it's pretty heavy stuff to read, and especially when you think like the majority of the fan base is younger, right? Hopefully this is opening up a lot of people's eyes of saying like, oh, like there are actual people behind the screens that we're watching. And there's, you know, take away a professional gamer when you're in a, you know, a 5-man in Counter-Strike, or if you're in, you know, a comp or a quick play in Overwatch or Dota or whatever, the people that you're playing against are actual people with real life problems and you don't know what they're going through. And you know, hey, shame on me, right? I'm pot calling the kettle black here, okay? Because I talk trash, I rage, I will flip out,
no,
and I'll say
don't.
Regrettable things.
No.
But I still acknowledge the fact that that's not right, and I think as a society we should change. Blah blah blah. So. But this isn't about me. This is not about
this
me.
Isn't about, no, it's not about
this is no no no. Well, that's for my therapist. That's what I pay them for. No, for effects letter, and I'm just gonna read parts of it, okay? But it starts. I always carry a sense of shame around with me, but some days that feeling of shame gets so severe that I get strong urges to kill myself. I should just forget about it and do productive, positive things, but I can't do that. I get filled with an endless negative thought and the idea that everything is meaningless in my life. Jumping forward, he goes, Overwatch got released. I played Overwatch because I wanted to become the star in the game. I made strategy posts. I posted YouTube channels. I started streaming and I tried my best. There was no space to think of the negative thoughts because I had my hands full. But because of that, I ended up getting here, but too much time has passed. Overwatch hasn't changed it at all. The game itself couldn't tug at my interest anymore. and thus he's back at his old ways. And he pretty much said he's super depressed. He, no matter how he tries thinking positive thoughts or anything like that, he can't get away from it. And that's very, very important. That's really the key to take away from this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this just goes back to what I said earlier, being well-rounded. He even says right there in his letter, he put all of his time and energy into this one sport that, you know, a good part of his young adult life is kind of passing him by, right? So that just goes back to, if we can just take anything away from this, it's just, again, be well-rounded. You know, surround yourself with positive people. Go out and unwind and do something else. Know when to get away from something that just stresses you out. And, you know, for any young professional player, like, you know, Zachary or, you know, Super or Space, get out. You know, there is life outside of your sport. Yeah. Don't flame yourself out.
And I think part of it, too,
that is that's like everybody's going to be different in that aspect, right? Like, for effect, he realizes there's an issue. And that's the most important thing that I take away from it, is the fact that he understands something is not right here. And he needs to step away for himself to figure out what it is. Obviously, it's something that's like really deep rooted in him right now. It's, you know, it sounds like it's just eating away at him, but he recognizes there's a problem. So I don't think it's necessarily like, hey, be well-rounded. Like, hey, if you can grind 15 hours a day and you love doing it and it's your passion to become, you know, the best at the game that you're playing, do it. You know, if that's what you can do and it's making you happy and it's bringing you the joy that you're looking for, and you know, again, that's just what you want out of it, do it. That I have no problems with that. I think it's just important to recognize when there is an issue and, hey, I am sitting here for 10, 12 hours playing. I'm not getting any joy out of this. This has just become, you know, only a job for me at this point in time. Like, that sounds like what effect's going through right now. But I think to, like, you know, like you said, like a Zachary or these guys, like, hey, they're young. They have the ability to do it. They're crafting their, you know, they're building their brand. They're crafting their art right now. So again, it's not necessarily like being well-rounded means going outside. It's just being healthy in life, right? So that's from an eating standpoint, getting some sort of exercise. It doesn't have to be like, hey, go outside and play and run laps and, you know, do whatever. Like, it's not that. And that's not what we're trying to tell people to do. It's just having a healthy balance in life. Again, that comes from nutrition, that comes from either exercise or working out. But if you could sit there and play for 20 hours and stream and make money and be the best of your game, hell, I would love to do it right now. Like, I want to be that person at 33 years old, as crazy as it sounds. Like, I think that's a dream.
That's part we've always talked about too, like, especially with Overwatch League, or these, like, the new thing now is like the team psychologist. Nifty actually talked about it one time in Queue Up, which is the Envy podcast, of how important was it when he was on Renegades and when he moved to Envy, how important it was that they had a team psychologist that he felt comfortable with going to and just talking, right? And for some people, that's all they need, right? They just need that time to go away and talk about private stuff, emotional stuff, whatever, right? To someone they feel comfortable about.
And it's good that these teams are adapting to this. You know, Astralis, Envy, those are the two teams that kind of stand out in my mind that really, really put an impact on that and an emphasis on that. But I mean, this is something new. I mean, esports is growing. I feel like esports is there's a bigger competitive pool than there is in any traditional sport. And your time at the peak of your level is not as long as it would be in a traditional sport. I mean, we're seeing these guys retire in their mid 20s, right? So players like Effect, who is 21 years old, I mean, he's in the prime of his career. And maybe these guys feel like they have to grind to stay at the top of the game.
They do. It's not like they don't have to feel that way. They have to grind.
Exactly.
Top of their game.
So it's good that teams are adapting along with the growth of the game and just these guys are, I mean, some of these guys aren't even like full-fledged adults yet. It's insane.
But I think too,
moving to new cities.
Because, you know, again, I want to talk both sides of it here. There are teams that are adapting, and then there are teams that are not, right? I can promise you that there are second-tier teams, hell, even teams in the Overwatch League, top-tier teams in Counter-Strike that are drill sergeants, right? To where if Effect was on another team, who knows how this would have ended up? You know, what if the team wasn't super supportive of him? What if they were like, no, you got to get in here and practice, or you're riding the bench, who cares? You got to practice, get in here and go. I mean, you've heard horror stories of that before in like team houses where the culture is just not that family vibe, right? Which I think Team Envy really is good at creating. There are teams out there that unfortunately haven't caught up to the whole fact that these are kids or young adults and going on. I know, yes. Doug brought up I want to bring up one point that Doug brought up in the Twitch chat, saying that, you know, he says, I think the question is the chicken and the egg dilemma. What came first, gaming or mental health issues? Where's the evidence that games were the catalyst? I think that goes back to our point earlier, is that I'm not saying, or we're not saying, games are the catalyst. It's just they're there, right? They can be part of the equation on, you know, how some people might get sunken into them in an unhealthy manner. Everyone's different.
But then again, you know, to my point earlier, we also realize that if it's not video games, for a lot of these people, it would be something else or some other vice.
I mean, you hear where people are depressed and so they run, and they run to the point where it's unhealthy, you know? You've read stories on that.
You know, it's kind of cool, and we haven't touched on it at all. Too late to even jump into it now. I know you just brought up Astralis here a moment ago, and that's a whole different mental aspect that comes into play here, is with these sports psychologists, right? Astralis was a team that was always, you know, as TSM, and they turned into Astralis. This team was known for choking. And it became like a mental game for them in a whole different way, right? Like, they couldn't get over the hurdle because they were always third, second, you know, they could never win the big match. And they hired a sports psychologist. They took the game from more of a business-like approach, instead of just five kids living in a gaming house type approach. Not to say that they were doing that before necessarily, but they took it to another level from a mental aspect. And that's turned it around for them. We've seen them, you know, have probably the most iconic run in CS history. So there's even that just side of it, which teams, I think, are starting to become more aware of. And you're seeing it at a higher level in tier one esports than ever before. I would assume most tier one, like proper esports organizations, have some sort of sports psychologist. They're helping evaluate the players, as well as just being there for players as an outlet. If they're not doing it, they definitely should, because we know, A, that it works, right? There's like living proof out there that it works. And B, why not afford them that ability so you can avoid issues? And, you know, whether Fuel had it or not is besides the point. It's just having that person there as an outlet, I think, is going to be important. Right. With what we're expecting of them.
And, you know, say the Fuel does have a psychologist, and Effect talk to him every day. Well, maybe this is where they ended up, right?
I mean, yeah, exactly.
And that's one important thing, right, is your team psychologist is a psychologist first, and he's there for the team. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's there for the players.
And we know that the Fuel, and Envy for that matter, they put the players, or try to put the players, in the best point possible. We had a conversation with Astro where he talked about Felix XQC and said, hey, we tried. Like, we tried to give him all the help possible, you know, gave him people to talk to. So, I mean, they're doing what they can. I'm not saying that you said that they didn't, Tim, but I just wanted to make that point.
Yeah.
You know, right. So it's out there that, you know, he was going through some things that go beyond what the Fuel could do.
This sounds more like the solution versus
that's a perfect
way of saying. The solution was for him to probably, you know, at this point, at least he's still 21. Like we've said 100 times, he could come back if he wants to come back. But at this point in time in his career, he needs to step away and take care of himself and put himself first. And that's important. Yeah. And like I said, that sounds like, based on what he's dealing with, was probably the best case scenario here, is for him to get help and get taken care of at this point in time.
I think that was the best way I could have put it. That's what my point was trying to make, is that just because if this situation rises where a player feels like he has to leave for his better, you know, for to better himself, that doesn't mean like the psychologist isn't working, right? A good psychologist should be there for you, right? It's, look, if this isn't working out, like, go, man, like, go for yourself. Don't feel like you have to be here for the team. That's, you know, part of it. That's part of that mental health outlook, I guess, is what you can call it. So that being said, before we get too drawn out on it, you know, if you are a listener and maybe you're listening to this and you're like, you know what, I'm going through some of my own stuff, I will say that my DMs are always open on Twitter. If maybe you are that type that just needs somebody to talk to, you just want to vent, you know, you can always hit me up. I have not talked about it on the show. I wasn't sure if I was going to on this episode, but I am. On last March, I had a phone call from a family member, and I remember that it was I'm not an emotional guy. I normally deflect with jokes and inappropriate humor, but this is not the time. I remember last March, it was the day before we recorded, I got a phone call at like 10:30 at night, which is never good if you get a phone call at 10:30 at night. Like, I'm too old for like a 10:30 booty call from my wife, so you know it's not good. And it was a phone call letting me know that a very close family member of mine was in the hospital and attempted suicide. I haven't told anyone this, one person. And it's just the way my family works. My family, it's, you know, I remember when I first got the phone call and I said, hey, so-and-so's in the hospital. They tried to kill themselves. My instant reaction was, okay, are they okay? They're doing, you know, as good as one can be. And I said, okay, keep me updated. And that's just how we work. We are not an emotional type. We don't, you know, we don't dwell on it. It is what it is. That's how I've always grown up, for better or for worse. And I remember thinking, you know, you get angry that, like, wow, I can't believe that they tried that, right? Like, you always hear, like, they're selfish. They're, you know, they're not thinking about other people. And I remember thinking, I was upset because now my family is a statistic. You know, we are that one out of however many families that are affected by suicide. I don't know why, but that bothered me, that I was like, now we're a statistic, where before we were just like everyone else. Now there's something wrong with the family. And, you know, that over time, my family member is okay now. It's been over a year. They're flourishing. We are flourishing as a family. And I realized that there was nothing wrong with being a statistic or what they did. It's the bravest thing that they could have done was to ask for help. You know, they could have easily drank the bottle of whiskey and took that bottle of pills and just sat on the couch and let it happen. But the bravest thing my family member could have done is call for help in quick enough time. And so what I'm trying to say here is just to get the story out as a listener, it is the bravest thing you can do. Don't feel like you are weak or insignificant if you have to ask for help. Don't be embarrassed that you think someone's going to make fun of you. You know, you might see it on Twitter where people are making fun of people, or on games, right? Like I said, I'm guilty of it too, of being a jerk on games. And you think, well, what if I come out and say something? Will my friends think less of me? Will people think less of me? Yeah. F them. That's all I can say. They're not your friends if they think that. So it really is life-changing when you go through something like that on a personal level. like not even like friends, right? It was like that's like it's my own blood, and I never thought we would be in that situation. So it's very eye opening, and you really just don't know how you'll handle it until you're in that situation. So my peace offering to anyone going in that situation, if you feel like it will help, if you are having a bad day, go ahead and message me on Twitter or something if it helps. I do have here the Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's 1-800-273-8255. Again, that's not going to work for everyone. But for those who think it might, talking about it, for me personally, helps. So if you're having a bad day, if you're having those bad thoughts, try giving it a call. You never know. It could really turn things around. You know, maybe it's just that, maybe you're just nervous about making that one phone call to make things better. Just make that one phone call. Go to that one friend and see what happens. You know, don't wait to drink that bottle of alcohol and take that bottle of pills to make that phone call. You know, get out ahead of it and you'll be better for it. So on that note, I didn't mean to
bring down the room, Tim.
Yeah, God. I didn't mean to bring down the show. MIBR sucks, so we have that to make us happy about as we get into some e-news. Star Series Season 7 wrapped up over the weekend. MIBR got 12. That's the only reason I need to live, baby. That's the only reason. As they lose to Renegades, NRG, and North.
They got spanked in those games, though.
They are not looking good.
They're not. Yeah, this has been a mess.
We were just talking about it. I think was it last week where we were like, so how many more tournaments can they go? And we're like, it's still early. They'll turn it around. I don't think.
I don't know if turning it around is necessarily the right thing. But that was a tough showing for them. It was good to see like NRG and Renegades both played well in this tournament. You know, that was obviously a big plus coming out of there. Ents kind of went back into the middle of the pack. They, you know, they didn't necessarily show up as much as we were hoping. Another team that was again at the bottom of this list, if you notice, is FaZe. Another team that continues to struggle, and it's like it's mind-blowing the money that's spent probably between MIBR and FaZe to see where they're at in a from a competitive standpoint right now. And the winner of this whole thing is everybody except for Astralis. Like, it was nice that they weren't in a tournament for a change. We got to see a new winner. Na'Vi came out on top, mm-hmm. beating Fnatic in the finals. Actually spanked him, man. The finals, 3-0. Unfortunately, were at a really rough time. It was like 3 a.m. our time, but they did. They 3-0'd him. Simple played great. This was probably, I think this was the best plus minus of his career throughout a tournament. It was like plus 160 something, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was on a whole new level, dude.
Really just elevating his game, continues to elevate his game. But yeah, he's obviously walking away the MVP from this event, and Na'Vi's walking around with a cool 250.
NRG and Renegades got third and fourth. You got to see a little bit of Taric there. So it looked, I mean, you know, can't complain about that being your first outing and you get third and fourth. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
This week you have Blast Pro Series Miami. It's coming up this weekend. Pretty good little tournament there. People upset Cloud9 got invited. Get over it.
Well, it's still going to, people want to watch them. So regardless,
yeah, they're,
of what
they're
you
the
think,
NA
like,
team to watch. So you're going to get it.
Yeah.
I'm still like, it's like, what, 2 years ago, you only had one Blast Pro Series event, and now it seems like they're just everywhere. So, but they put on a good show.
They do put on a good show, and it's nice that this is like a pretty select grouping of teams. Again, we'll see MIBR and FaZe fall up against the big boys. Like, this is going to be another opportunity for them to either sink or swim.
Yep. Overwatch Stage 2 started last weekend. Variety to the meta. I think, you know, the big question was what was going to happen with the meta with the new patches. Were we going to see as goats all the time? I'm pleasantly happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, you still see goats out there, but you're seeing more variants of it, right? Like, you're seeing more DPS, which is nice. And you got a Baptiste sighting. What was it? The Fusion that played him On Anubis?
Someone did.
So it's interesting to kind of see what's going on. Good for our local boys, like we had mentioned last week, to kind of see what teams are doing and kind of build off of it and counter it.
Yep. In other Overwatch Blizzard news, Blizzard bans yet another emoji that you cannot do in Arena and Twitch chat, and that is the OK symbol.
This is like almost topic worthy at this point. Like, this is getting a little ridiculous.
As I guess it's linked to white supremacy. So they tell me.
Well, so are white people, but should we ban them from the show? Like, come on. Yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah.
Get off
the
my
Florida Mayhem
Pepe,
did, so
and now like
maybe they're just
the
ahead of it.
Thumbs up or the, you know. I thought
Florida,
it meant a whole
Florida
different
Mayhem
thing. I thought it meant like
people.
A-hole, did it not? Did this not mean a-hole at some point?
I've always known it as
what was
okay
the whole, like,
or
it was,
the punching, like the got you. Like if you did it to someone, then you could
yeah,
punch
like if you
the
get
shoulder.
Them to see it or something, you know?
Yeah,
like
see it below your waist and you could punch them.
Look, I'm not letting white supremacists take that from me. That is ours. Yeah. That's
so,
ours this thing.
And the fact that like one person complained about it because someone did it in the crowd, and then like I felt so bad because the person like tweeted saying like I'm really sorry. I didn't know it was about white supremacy. Had I known, I wouldn't have done it. And like they were like really felt bad. And I'm like, everyone was like, dude, you did nothing wrong. Like he said me and my friends just do it as like a gotcha thing. And
yeah,
and he's like, I felt like that was a good time. I was like, no, you nailed it. You nailed it.
That
don't
was
worry
perfect.
About
the ultimate so, gotcha.
The fact
you got a whole race.
It's just getting out of hand. Out of hand. Yep. It's for a gaming company, they seem to be severely out of touch.
Dude, seriously.
And in other news, we were actually going to talk about this on today's episode, but it got bumped with all of effects, goodbye letter and retirement letter. Goodbye letter seems a little inappropriate with the content. But
yeah, yeah, Tim.
Oh, we laugh, because laughing is the best medicine. Rocket League announced that in their upcoming esports store, which I still don't really know what's going to be involved there, they are going to have revenue sharing, which is pretty huge, I think. So maybe we'll talk about that more on an episode or anything like that coming up. But that's pretty big. Pretty big for Rocket
League. Closer to another franchise, right? So,
well, it's kind of like a weird hybrid franchising, right? They haven't franchised. You can still be any team in it, and yet if you're in the pro league, I guess you get part of the revenue sharing. So it's kind of like this best of both worlds.
And for our Rocket League players, that's the same time that the next season pass starts. So
there you go.
Get in early. Get those skins. Rocket League does a really good job. Oh, can't do that. Sorry.
Yeah, please don't. Doug,
can I, what if I do it? What does it mean?
He did it.
If I do it, is there still like the same connotation?
That means if
so,
you do this,
no,
you get to punch someone
this
twice.
This is funny.
Right?
It's funny that you bring this up, because in game Zenyatta, which is like supposed to be like the Indian monk, does the symbol. Now, of course, for a monk, you just assume it's for meditation reasons, but maybe Zenyatta is secretly a racist.
So what you're saying, symbols can have more than one meaning?
Shocked.
Unbelievable.
I know, right? Just don't ever look up the history of the swastika, or Buddhas might be really upset with you.
They face different ways. That's the difference.
Sure. So does the OK symbol. Everything else. Anyways, we'll see what Blizzard decides to ban next week. Maybe the thumb up or something. Maybe we can convince them. I feel like we should just do a bit now where we just do different symbols with our hands and just convince Blizzard that they're all just super racist. And see
just
if we
start
can just
attending
ban
events and holding up a different sign every time.
Everything. Everything. Good stuff. Good stuff today, guys. It's a good show. Different show, but I enjoyed the discussion. Had good discussion in Twitch chat. Maybe we'll have good discussion on our Twitter at the Center Ring if you listened and you have an opinion on it. These are my favorite episodes, honestly, because I feel like they start the conversation, right? Maybe people think we're morons for thinking that gaming isn't completely innocent in the world of mental issues and violence and everything. Or at least that's my opinion, but that's just one man's opinion. on a podcast no one listens to, except for our moms. And even then, it's questionable. And Doug in Twitch chat. Our moms and Doug. It's the only person.
That's all we need.
That's all we need. That's all we need. Just how good can you fluff the listener numbers, right? I do appreciate everyone for listening, though. Even if you skipped around, if you listened to the whole thing, I love you all the same. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Let us know what you think of the show. We will be back next Monday at 8:30 discussing more esports fun. Again, I preface, just to give one last shout out, I hope all of our listeners are doing great with mental health or social anxiety issues, but if you have any, you know, need to talk, let me know. Oh gosh, that's the end. This is awkward. The music ended before I finished talking.
I feel so naked.
Right? Man, I wasn't paying attention to the clock. Anyways, everyone, thank you so much for listening. We will see you next week for a new Tribrette. I'm Tib. We'll see ya.